Audible Studios presents The Forgotten Sisters, written by Shannon Hale, performed by Mandy Lee. Chapter 1. The God of Creation broke me from stone. The mountain's the only ma I've known. My paw is the blue sky sheltering me. So stone I am and sky I'll be. Miri woke to the rustle of a feather-stuffed quilt. She stretched, her muscles humming. Warm yellow light poured through the glass windows, filling the chamber with morning. For a moment, she was not sure why her breath felt ticklish in her chest, as if she were at chapel and trying to hold in a laugh. Then she remembered. She was going home. "Today," said Miri, her voice creaky with sleep. Her roommates were awake, too. A year ago, 6 Mount Eskel girls had come to Asland, Danlin's capital city, for their friend Britta's marriage to Prince Stefan. Now 4 remained at the palace. Essa dressed slowly, expertly using her right hand to pull her dress over her lame arm. Frid tore off her night things and stuffed her broad shoulders into a travel dress. Gertie, the youngest, just sat on the edge of her bed, her feet dangling. "Today," said Gertie, and the word was both mournful and glad. Their bags were already packed and fat with presents for their families. With her allowance as a lady of the princess, Miri had purchased a set of chapel clothes, paper and ink, and chocolates for her sister Marta. For Pa, she had boots, honeyed nuts, and a new mallet. For the village school, an entire box of precious books. Palace servants offered to carry their bags, leaving the 4 girls free to hold hands as they walked through the grand corridors, perhaps for the last time. "It's kind of like home now," Gertie said. A servant was carrying her lute, and Miri thought Gertie looked small and vulnerable without the instrument strapped in its usual place over her chest. "It's strange, isn't it? How we're leaving home to go home?"
"The boys at the forge tried to make me swear I'd come back," Frid laughed. "Asland is all right for a visit, but I'm a Mount Eskel girl."
"I think I'll visit again one day," said Essa. As they passed the infirmary, she waved to the palace physicians who had spent the past months training her in their science. Miri did not admit to the girls that she was already planning to return next spring. After all, even her pa and her sister did not know yet. But she and Pater had agreed that there was too much to do and learn in Asland to say farewell forever. Miri took in a deep breath, memorizing the smells of the palace, sunlight warming the oil and lemon polish, the lavender soap used on the linens, and the hard scent she associated with metal. Miri smiled. But at that moment she yearned for linder dust, warm goats, the wind against the autumn grasses, all the welcome smells of home.
"First thing when we get to Mount Eskel," Frid said, "I'm going to throw a rock into the great crevasse."
"A big rock, no doubt," said Essa.
"As big a rock as I can lift, huh? I can't wait."
Frid marched first out the doors and into the palace courtyard. Miri was last, but hesitated only a moment before passing into the sunlight. The trader's wagons were loaded with food and other supplies to sell to the families on Mount Eskel. One empty wagon waited for the girls. Pater was sharing the bench with the driver. Beyond the palace gates, beyond the sea of green park, the colorful buildings of Asland rose like a range of mountains. Autumn had softened the heat of summer, but the buildings were painted bright. Red, yellow, blue, white, rust, green. As if in the capital, spring was endless, always blooming, never cold. The Princess Britta, Miri's best friend, was waiting to see them off, standing beside her new husband, Prince Stefan. Britta lifted a hand to wave at